Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now, I will turn the meeting over to your host, Gladys Dutrieuil. You may begin.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I hereby call to order this fifth meeting of the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission for the year 2020. We thank you for joining us telephonically this morning and note that the meeting will be in listen-only mode. At this time, I would like to take a roll call of my fellow commissioners who are joining us on the phone. I will call upon Vice Chairman Sweet.
Here.
Commissioner Andrew Place.
Present.
Commissioner John Coleman.
Present.
And Commissioner Ralph Unora.
Present.
Thank you. While we will not be pledging the American flag during this telephonic meeting, we ask that everyone please keep the citizens of our state and country in your thoughts and prayers during this extraordinary time of dealing with this pandemic. At today's meeting, which is open to the public, the Commission will act on various matters. However, since adequate forms have been made available for public participation in cases before the Commission, there is no opportunity for the public to address the Commission at this public meeting. As we continue to work together in these unique circumstances presented by the COVID-19 pandemic, we also appreciate your patience. While our physical offices have been closed, we have remained busy here at the PUC performing critical functions remotely. In the past few weeks, I have signed 3 separate emergency orders suspending door-to-door, in-person marketing activities for energy suppliers, prohibiting utility terminations during Governor Wolf's proclamation of a disaster emergency, and permitting the modification of regulatory and statutory deadlines and procedural rules affecting filing and service requirements with the PUC, as well as time periods established for the PUC to take final action on matters before it. I also wish to remind utilities and stakeholders to access the PUC's website's new COVID-19 webpage, where we continue to update information with the list of PUC's actions taken so far, as well as upcoming public meeting notices, the status of our call center hotline, and e-filing updates. This new page can be accessed from our homepage. We also plan to include audio of today's public meeting on our website. To continue with our meeting, the first matter on this morning's agenda is the approval of the minutes of February 27, 2020, and I call upon Commissioner Andrew Place, who is the editor of the minutes.
Thank you very much. I have reviewed the minutes of the February 27, 2020 public meeting and move that they be approved as submitted. Thank you.
You have heard the motion of Commissioner Andrew Place. Is there a second?
Second.
There is a second by Vice Chairman Sweet. And is there any further comments or edits of the minutes? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 And I also will be voting yes. Any opposed? Hearing none. The motion passes 5-0. At this time, we will be calling upon our Secretary, Rosemary Chiavetta, to lead us through this morning's agenda.
Good morning, Madam Chairman and Commissioners. Your bureaus and offices have prepared the following agenda for your consideration. Therefore, let us begin on page 1 with matters presented by Director Monahan and the Bureau of Audits. It is recommended that the Commission, in an omnibus motion, adopt and release both the audit reports of the Duquesne Light Company and the National Fuel Gas Distribution Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
So moved.
So moved. Second, Sweet.
I have heard a motion from Commissioner Andrew Place, second by Vice Chairman David Sweet. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 I will also be voting aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 5-0.
Turning to page 2 and matters presented by Director Sophie and the Office of Special Assistance, it is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 2, beginning with the petition of the Delaware Sewer Authority and ending with the formal complaint of Paul Bershnick versus the West Penn Power Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
So moved, Nora.
Second, Coleman.
I have heard a motion by Commissioner Ralph Unora, second by Commissioner John Coleman. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
I will also be voting aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 5-0.
Turning to page 3. It is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the compliance plan of the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
So moved.
Sweet.
I heard Commissioner Ralph Unora move, and I heard Vice Chairman David Sweet also move, but I'll have him as the second. Is there any discussion? Any discussion on this item? I do have comments, but Commissioner Unora?
Yes, I have a joint statement on this matter.
I recognize you for your statement.
Thank you. We ask that our statement be entered into record as if I had read it in its entirety. We agree that the partial settlement is in the public interest. However, we are concerned with two aspects of the lead service line replacement program. First, PWSA is required by tariff and by law to install backflow devices on all residential water service lines. PWSA should install the appropriate backflow protection device when it completes a customer-owned lead service line or meter replacement to protect the water system. Second, the partial settlement proposes to relieve PWSA of liability of customer losses caused by PWSA or its contractors when replacing those lines. We believe this should be reviewed in the ongoing Commission Lead Line Replacement Working Group so that a uniform approach to this issue can be developed for all water utilities. We look forward to continuing our successful transition of PWSA to the Commission jurisdiction. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Unora. Any further discussion? If not, I do have comments that I ask that my comments have been submitted in their entirety that to be placed in the record, and I will read you a portion of them. Before the Public Utility Commission for consideration and disposition is the recommended decision issued on October 29, 2019, and exceptions thereto in the matter regarding Pittsburgh Water and Sewers Authority Stage 1 Compliance Plan and Long-Term Infrastructure Improvement Plan. With this opinion and order, the Commission takes a significant step forward in the process of assimilating Pittsburgh Water and Sewer into compliance with the Pennsylvania Public Utility Code. This proceeding involves some complex and certainly novel issues for this Commission. A matter that I wish to illuminate is the authority's current residency requirement. Presently, PWSA requires all employees to live within the city of Pittsburgh unless exempted by the authority's executive committee. PWSA acknowledges that the residency requirement limits its ability to attract and retain capable and skilled individuals, as well as its ability to meet diversity goals. The authority further states that the requirement is problematic since 300,000 people live in the city compared to 2.36 million people in the Pittsburgh metropolitan area, thereby limiting access to a large pool of potential employees. Last, PWSA admits that it relies on consultants and contractors, thereby making it difficult to create redundancy and increasing labor costs. Nonetheless, PWSA seeks to retain the residency requirement, proffering it can stabilize its workforce by hiring more permanent workers, by incentivizing temporary employees to move to the city, and by use of the exemption process. I understand and acknowledge the complexity of residency requirements for municipal authorities such as PWSA and how they may or may not align with the Public Utility Code. As a quality of service regulator, I must balance such requirements with the need to assure efficient, safe, reliable, and reasonable service. As the Commission's Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement submits, this residency requirement is a violation of Section 1501 of the Code because the limitations explained above are at odds with the authority's obligation to furnish and maintain adequate, efficient, safe, and reasonable service. Furthermore, PWSA's residency requirement frustrates its ability to comply with the Commission's diversity policy goals of our regulations at 52 PA Code, Section 69.801 through 69.809. Consequently, I believe elimination of the residency requirement for PWSA is prudent when carefully balancing the facts outlined in this proceeding. Moving on, I would be remiss not to highlight the commitment of PWSA in making to replace lead service lines. Here, PWSA commits to replacing all known authority-owned and customer-owned lead service lines by 2026. Further, the authority will provide reimbursement assistance to those customers who expedite replacement of their lead service lines in advance of PWSA's infrastructure replacement program would otherwise replace them. Additionally, the authority will continue to provide lead water testing kits to its customers. I am pleased to see these parameters for lead remediation. In conclusion, while this matter presents many challenging issues for this commission, the opinion and order recommended for vote today presents positions on said issues which are in the public interest and significantly advances the authority toward compliance with the Public Utility Code. I commend PWSA, INE, the Office of Consumer Advocate, Pittsburgh United, and Pennsylvania American Water Company for their diligence on these many service and health-related matters. I further wish to thank the Commission staff for their laudable efforts in such a complex proceeding, including our Office of Administrative Law Judge and our Office of Special Assistance. Are there any other comments on this motion?
If I may, I'd like to associate myself with the chairman's statement. Thank you.
Place, thank you, Commissioner Place. Any other comments on this motion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 And I also will be voting aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 5-0.
Continuing on page 3, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the formal complaint of William Roll versus the Pennsylvania Electric Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
So moved, Coleman.
Sweet moving.
I heard Commissioner John Coleman first moving, so I will take Vice Chairman Sweet's motion as a second. Is that okay?
Certainly.
Okay. With that, is there any discussion on the matter before us?
Yes, I have a motion on the matter, please.
Commissioner Andrew Place.
Thank you very much. Madam Secretary, please place my motion into the records if I'd read it in its entirety. Before us are the exceptions of Pennsylvania Electric Company filed on April 22, 2019, to the initial decision of Administrative Law Judge Dennis J. Buckley issued on April 3, 2019. The initial decision sustained the formal complaint of William Roll, finding that Penelec failed to provide adequate service in violation of Section 1501 of the Public Utility Code. In addition, the ALJ opposed a civil penalty of $1,000 for this violation. This case involves a complaint regarding Penelec's interruption of service without notice to the owner when a tenant moved out, causing the electric pilot light to the furnace to go out and consequently radiators to freeze and break, which resulted in extensive damage. The complainant argued that Penelec was under an obligation to notify him of the service termination pursuant to a 2007 verbal continuance of service contract previously established for a rental property owned by the complainant, as he had the same arrangement with Penelec for another rental property. Under a CSC, electric service would have reverted to the complainant after the disconnection of service of the property in 2018. In its exceptions, Penelec argues that this complainant is barred by the statute of limitation, which prohibits actions unless brought within 3 years of the liability. Penelec claims that the coding of the account, which would have triggered Penelec's notification of the landlord when the tenant terminated service, was not placed in 2007, and therefore too much time had passed. However, as the landlord first learned that the account had not been coded when the pipes froze in the winter of 2018, and the complaint was filed May 4, 2018, the statute of limitations does not bar this action. Penelec also claims that the lack of evidence to support the claim that the complainant had directed Penelec to code the account prevents the finding of a prima facie case. However, it was Penelec's policy of not providing any written confirmation for the coding of a tenant's account that resulted in this case. Penelec cannot now claim that its own poor policy prevents the complainant from establishing a prima facie case. Rather, the lack of a policy that denotes a CSC and written confirmation weighs in favor of the complainant's case. The record evidence in this proceeding supports the ALJ's determination that there was, in fact, a Section 1501 violation. Penelec's existing CSC procedures are to establish it by telephone and not followed up by written confirmation. It is simply input into the computer system upon a verbal notification. This lack of confirmation and record keeping constitutes an inadequate service under Section 1501 of the Public Utility Code. I remain concerned regarding Penelec's CSC proceedings as described in this case. I would strongly recommend that Penelec improve the notification process to their customers when a CSC agreement has been established by confirming such agreement electronically or in writing as chosen by the customer. Further, I recommend that Penelec work with the appropriate parties, including the Office of Small Business Advocate, to perfect this process so as to avoid similar situations in the future. By improving the process, both the company and its customers will know when a CSC is established on account, safeguarding both parties in this type of agreement. Based on the record in this proceeding, I move to deny the exceptions and to adopt the initial decision. Therefore, I move that, 1, the initial decision of Administrative Law Judge Dennis J. Buckley, issued on April 3, 2019, is affirmed consistent with this motion. 2, the exceptions of the Pennsylvania Electric Company filed on April 22, 2019, are denied consistent with this motion. 3, the formal complaint of William Roll, filed on May 4, 2018, is sustained consistent with this motion. And finally, 4, the Office of Special Assistance prepare an opinion and order consistent with this motion. Thank you.
You have heard the motion of Commissioner Andrew Place. Is there a second to the motion?
Sweet. Second.
Thank you. Second by Vice Chairman David Sweet. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 I will also be voting aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 5-0. on the matter as amended by the motion. Is there any objection to taking the previous roll call?
No objection.
Hearing no objection, the matter as amended passes 5-0.
Turning to page 4, it is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 4, beginning with the formal complaint of Wallace McGaughey versus the People's Natural Gas Company, and ending with the formal complaint of Silver Valley Apartments versus PPL Electric Utilities.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
So moved, Coleman.
Is there a second?
Second.
So I heard for motion, Commissioner John Coleman. I heard for a second, Commissioner Ralph Unora. There were another voice over there, but I think I heard him over whoever else was trying to second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
I will also be voting aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 5-0.
Turning to page 5, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the matter of the Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement versus the Lansdale Warehouse Company.
Is there a motion to adopt staff recommendation?
So moved, please.
Is there a second?
Second, Coleman.
Second. Excuse me.
I heard Commissioner Andrew Place moving and a second by Commissioner John Coleman. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I have a motion on the matter.
Vice Chairman Sweet.
Thank you. This is a joint motion with Commissioner Place, and I ask that the motion be placed on the record as if I'd read it in its entirety. This is a petition for reconsideration of staff action filed by Lansdale Warehouse Company, Inc., seeking reconsideration of the July 2019 secretarial letter canceling Lansdale's Certificate of Public Convenience and imposing a civil penalty of $500. Motor carriers are required to maintain evidence of insurance, which is shown by the insurer's filing of specific forms. In this instance, the insurer filed one of two required forms indicating insurance for cargo, but not for liability. The Commission's Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement filed a formal complaint for failure to maintain proof of insurance. When no answer was filed, the allegations were deemed admitted. In the petition for reconsideration, Lansdale included proof of uninterrupted insurance as a holder of a certificate of public convenience for 54 years in good compliance. This proof, offered in the course of litigation, is sufficient to convince us that it was properly insured through the time in question. Accordingly, we reinstate the certificate of public convenience, inform PennDOT to reinstate vehicle registration, and withdraw the civil penalty. We grant the petition for reconsideration, noting that the required insurance forms must still be filed. We also caution Lansdale to respond to future staff inquiries and complaints in order to avoid this type of misunderstanding in the future. Therefore, we move. First, that the petition for reconsideration, the secretarial letter of July 2019 issued in this docket, is granted. Second, that the Certificate of Public Convenience issued to Lansdale Warehouse Company, Inc., a docket number A-0009127, is reinstated. Third, that the civil penalty assessed against Lansdale Warehouse Company, Inc., is revoked. Fourth, that the Department of Transportation be informed that the administrative hold on the vehicle registrations of Lansdale Warehouse Company, Inc., can be lifted. And five, that the Office of Special Assistance prepare an opinion and order consistent with this motion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. You have heard the joint motion as read by Vice Chairman Sweet. Is there a second to the motion? I will second the motion. Any discussion on the motion?
Chairman, this is Commissioner Coleman. I do have a couple of brief comments.
Commissioner Coleman.
Thank you. I appreciate my colleagues' concern and frustration over this particular company providing proper evidence of continuous insurance coverage. However, I think there is a valid reason why our regulations require evidence of insurance coverage to come from the insurance carrier, not from the regulated entity. And the obvious reason for that is to avoid any abuse in this process. In this particular case, I believe that the staff got it right and that they are squarely within the four corners of our regulations. What the joint motion proposes to do this morning is to deviate from our regulations in what I call a one-off, meaning in this particular case only and not carrying forward as a precedent for others. I believe that there are more appropriate remedies available, and therefore I'm going to be voting no on this joint motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Coleman. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 And I will be concurring in result only. Any opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed.
So the motion passes 3-2, noting the chair is voting concurring in result only, and Commissioner John Coleman and Commissioner Ralph Unora are dissenting. On the matter as amended, is there any objection to taking the previous roll call?
No objection.
Hearing no objection, the matter as amended passes 3-2, noting that the chair is concurring in result only, and that Commissioner John Coleman and Commissioner Ralph Unora are dissenting.
Continuing on page 5, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the rate proposal of Twin Lakes Utilities.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
So moved, please.
Is there a second?
Second, Coleman.
Commissioner Andrew Place moved. I heard Commissioner John Coleman second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 I also will be voting aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 5-0.
Turning to page 6, and matters presented by Director Diskin and the Bureau of Technical Utility Services, it is recommended in an omnibus motion that the Commission adopt both items on page 6, beginning with the security certificate of the Leatherstocking Gas Company and continuing the omnibus on page 7 and ending the omnibus with the single item on page 7, the application of Midwest Energy.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Sweet. So moved.
Is there a second?
Coleman, second.
Moved by Vice Chairman David Sweet, second by Commissioner John Coleman. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 I will also be voting aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 5-0.
Turning to page 8 and matters presented by Chief Counsel Hicks and the Law Bureau, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed order in the petition filed by PennDOT.
Is there a motion to adopt staff recommendation?
So moved, Coleman.
Second, Coleman.
Moved by Commissioner Ralph Unora, second by Commissioner John Coleman. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 I will also be voting aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. All those in favor? Hearing none, the motion passes 5-0.
Continuing on page 8, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed order in the ratification of the Commission's emergency order establishing a moratorium on terminations.
Is there a motion to adopt the ratification or to ratify the emergency order on termination moratorium?
So moved, please.
I heard three people. I heard Commissioner Place, and then there was a double voice. So is there a second that I can clearly hear?
Second, Coleman.
Okay. Moved by Commissioner Andrew Place, second by Commissioner John Coleman. Any discussion on a ratification? I will say that I will reserve my comments until the end of the agenda. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 I will also be voting aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 5-0.
Turning to page 9, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed order in the ratification of the Commission's emergency order establishing a moratorium on supplier door-to-door and in-person marketing.
Is there a motion to ratify the emergency order establishing supplier door-to-door and in-person marketing moratorium?
So moved, Eunora.
Motion by Commissioner Ralph Eunora, second by Commissioner Vice Chairman David Sweet. Any discussion? Under discussion, I will be reserving my comments to the end of the agenda. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 I will also be voting aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes 5-0.
Madam Chairman, that concludes the regular agenda. Now turning to the carry-in. On the carry-in agenda, it is recommended by the Law Bureau that the Commission adopt the proposed order regarding the Universal Service and Energy Conservation Plan of the Philadelphia Gas Works.
Is there a motion to adopt staff recommendation?
So moved, please.
Sweet. Is there a second?
Motion by Commissioner Andrew Place, second by Vice Chairman David Sweet. Any discussion?
Chairman, this is Commissioner Coleman. I have a joint statement.
Commissioner Coleman.
Thank you. This is a joint statement between myself and Commissioner Eunora, and we would ask that our joint statement be entered in the record as though we read it in its entirety. Before the Commission for consideration and disposition are two Universal Service Plan filings made by Philadelphia Gas Works. If approved, PGW estimates that the cost of its customer assistance program will increase by approximately $27 million for a total program cost of $87 million in the year 2021. PGW expects program costs to continue to increase beyond this total. We continue to emphasize the need for transparency in these proceedings, which includes a meaningful opportunity for comment. Based upon the magnitude of the cost associated with PGW's cap, a comprehensive review of the filings is necessary and appropriate. This can be conducted in an efficient manner to support the Commission's goal of reviewing Universal Service Plan amendments as quickly as possible. We continue to emphasize the need to fully appreciate the cost impact of Universal Service Plans prior to approval. The proposed PGW pilot program would reduce the maximum cap energy burden to comply with the Commission's new cap policy statement, remove the monthly copay for pre-program arrears, and modify the current consumption limit. The pilot program would run for the duration of PGW's 2017 to 2022 Universal Service and Energy Conservation Plan. PGW insists that the pilot program must be approved by March 31st, 2020 to accommodate the replacement of the customer information system, so it has asked us to expedite our review. We have a serious concern that the Commission has not conducted a legally acceptable review of the pilot program. The Office of the Consumer Advocate filed an answer opposing both expedited review and approval of the pilot program. And just 1 week ago, the Office of the Small Business Advocate filed a notice of intervention. The OCA and other interested parties have not had adequate notice and opportunity to be heard, and the Commission has not carefully considered the cost of the pilot program. This is true even when we consider that universal service plans are historically handled with less formality than other Commission filings. We are confounded by the decision to proceed to a final order based on a superficial review. The Commission's process for reviewing amendments to universal service plans may be designated to move as efficiently as possible, but it must include appropriate due process protections and reasonable time for thoughtful consideration for the full impact on all customers. We have approved changes to universal service plans that were unopposed and or modest in nature without a comment period, but a $27 million change demands a more robust review, which should have included a comment period. With a sense of the financial magnitude of PGW's adoption of just some of the new CAP guidelines, it is important to hear from stakeholders and to make an informed decision rather than to race to judgment. Based on the limited information before us, there are no metrics that determine whether the pilot program is successful, and it is unclear how PGW will contain pilot program costs. PGW forecasts the pilot program will result in an increased CAP cost of approximately $27 million in 2021 and approximately $29 million in 2022. This will negatively impact PGW's non-CAP low-income customers who likely struggle to pay utility bills. We are also concerned about increasing costs on households just above the CAP income eligibility threshold. Also, for commercial customers, including small businesses, the pilot program CAP costs are forecasted to increase by almost 50%. At present, these PGW forecasts are likely significantly underestimated. PGW recognizes that the increased cost of their pilot program could be significant and may increase the financial burden for Philadelphians, particularly if there is an increase in the cost of gas or an economic recession or depression. Under the present economic impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, we agree with PGW that the current $87 million cost estimate may pale next to the actual cost if customers are unable to pay their utility bills and enrollment levels for universal service programs dramatically increase. While customer assistance programs are important at times like this, we cannot ignore the significant cost burden these programs place on PGW's customers, especially PGW's non-CAP, low-income, and non-income-challenged residential customers. PGW has the highest percentage of low-income customers of any natural gas distribution company. We acknowledge the need for affordable energy bills within the city of Philadelphia and fully appreciate the role of CAPS in helping to meet that need. However, PGW already has the third most expensive CAP-free program of all jurisdictional utilities. PGW has also recently made changes to its CAP that may further increase program costs by millions of dollars over the next few years. By proceeding in this rushed fashion, the Commission has not allowed the parties to fully develop the issues raised by the pilot program. It appears that a thorough review will only take place after costs have been incurred. As in fully explained in our joint statement, we would reject PGW's petition for expedited approval in favor of conducting a more comprehensive review of the pilot program at the earliest opportunity presented by PGW. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Coleman, for the joint statement. Is there any further discussion on this matter?
Yes, Madam Chair. Commissioner Sweet here. If I could just
Vice Chairman
make
Sweet.
A few, thank you for recognition. Just a few really extemporaneous remarks in the nature of a rebuttal to the information that was just presented. I was disappointed but not particularly surprised this morning when I saw the written statement that was to be offered in a summary of which you have just heard. The reason I was not surprised is that while there's nothing really particularly new here in what PGW is proposing, the opponents of our initial policy statement continue to oppose the direction that a majority of this commission has set forth. PGW is doing exactly what the commission asked. And because of their own practical considerations, they're moving a little quicker even than we anticipated. But the facts, and for example, the 20-some million dollar figure that was just bandied about and cited in PGW's petition was a number that was before us when we adopted the policy statement in the first place. This process has been anything but rushed. There was a two-year consideration of the policy statement, and as I said, it was adopted by the majority. The PGW has proposed a rather unique way to deal with this, and that's to have a pilot program. And that's probably the best way to truly measure the costs here. Nothing new would be gained by yet another redundant process of comment and rebuttal, since the real facts are only matters of speculation and different people have made different estimates. I think that the proposal by PGW makes sense. I know they're going to carefully monitor it. I know that the management of PGW is gravely concerned about the impact of any decision they make on all their ratepayers and not just low-income ratepayers. And so this will be an ongoing monitored process as PGW implements this, what I guess will be about a two-year pilot project. As far as denial of due process, I've sort of hinted at my thoughts on that already. There was a long procedural history to this matter. It did not just begin this year. There was notice. The matter has not been reviewed in a superficial manner. There was notice, and OCA and others did respond. Some in favor. OCA, as mentioned, had some questions and concerns. The arguments against what PGW is proposing have been heard. They're just not agreed to by everyone, and there is a very difference between what is a denial of due process, which this is not. This is democracy, and this is a majority moving forward on a process. For those who are interested in the legal analysis of this, I would begin by citing the case of Anthracite Region Independent Power Producers Associates, a Commonwealth Court case in 2002, which is 792A2nd 636. There are a whole other string of citations which we could provide, which also speak in various ways to situations which come before the commission and which have received what some might call expedited treatment. Therefore, I support the proposed order as put forward by the law department. These are extraordinary circumstances, and PGW, I believe, has made the case for moving forward as they have suggested. I would ask leave to expand upon these remarks for the record once we have the time to prepare a legal answer to some of the due process claims that have been raised today. I thank you very much, and I urge support of the Law Bureau's recommendation. And I thank I thank my colleagues for listening to this longer than promised presentation.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Sweet. Any further discussion on this matter?
Yes, this is Place. This is Andrew Place. I just wanted to associate myself with the Vice Chairman's comments. Very well said. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Place. Any further discussion on this matter? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 I will also be voting aye. Any opposed?
Opposed. Coleman?
Opposed. You know where.
Thank you. The motion passes 3-2, noting the dissent of Commissioner John Coleman and Commissioner Ralph Unora.
And finally, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed order in the ratification of its emergency order regarding the suspension of regulatory and statutory deadlines and filing modifications.
Is there a motion to adopt the order to ratify the emergency order for suspension of regulatory and statutory deadlines?
Coleman, so moved.
Second. I will. Either way. The audience should know that commissioners are not paid based upon the number of motions or seconds that they make. So we're just not very well scripted always in terms of motions and seconds. And in our enthusiasm, we talk over each other.
From my audio, I heard Commissioner John Coleman, so I'll take that as the motion, and then Vice Chairman David Sweet, I'll take that as the second. And discussion on this matter, I do have comments, and I ask that my comments be placed in the record in their entirety as if I read them in their entirety. On March 6, 2020, pursuant to subsection 7301C of the Emergency Management Services Code, entitled 35, section 7101, Governor Tom Wolf issued a proclamation of disaster emergency proclaiming the existence of a disaster emergency throughout the Commonwealth for a period of up to 90 days, unless renewed by the governor. On March 13, 2020, the Commission issued an emergency order establishing a moratorium on service terminations for all electric, natural gas, water, wastewater, telecommunications, and steam utilities to coincide with the duration of the governor's emergency proclamation. The purpose of the moratorium is to ensure that utility customers continue to receive essential utility service during the COVID-19 pandemic. While the moratorium is in place, utilities cannot terminate service unless for purposes of remediating an emergency. I wish to clarify that the Commission's March 13th order does not free customers who are able to pay their utility bills from paying them. I am very cognizant that many Pennsylvanians have had significant impacts to their income during the pandemic. I urge customers experiencing financial difficulty to contact their service providers to explore payment options and assistance programs. Payment for utility service also allows the utilities to pay the employees who keep our electric, water, telecommunication, and gas service operating safely. So I emphasize that we are all in this together and that customers who have the ability to pay their utility bills must continue to do so to avoid arrearages once the pandemic has passed. On March 16, 2020, the Commission issued a second emergency order prohibiting door-to-door public event and in-person sales and marketing of competitive energy supply services in Pennsylvania with the intention of minimizing non-essential personal social contact during the pandemic. On March 20, 2020, we issued a third emergency order authorizing the suspension of regulatory and statutory deadlines to ensure that the Commission's operations continue as smoothly as possible and to prevent any regulatory statute or rule prescribing procedures for the conduct of commission business from unreasonably interfering with the public interest. Additionally, the emergency order modified the commission's filing and service requirements and authorized the secretary to modify Chapter 1 of our regulations as deemed necessary. All three of these emergency orders will continue during the pendency of the proclamation of disaster emergency. I believe that the issuance of these emergency orders was necessary to ensure public safety and the public interest. I offer my sincerest thanks for a job well done to the dedicated staff from multiple commission bureaus who pulled these orders together in a short time frame while working from home. And I also applaud our utilities who have been working with us well. Thank you very much. Any further comments or discussion on this motion?
Yes, this is Place, if I may.
Commissioner Andy Place.
Thank you. I would like to comment a bit further on the termination moratorium. Here's what folks need to know. The moratorium on service terminations for both residential and business customers, as well as the restoration of service where safely permitted, will exist, as noted, for the pendency of the governor's emergency order. The included goal here is to maintain service during the emergency declaration so that our fellow Pennsylvanians can have essential service available while they shelter in place with their families. If payments of utility services becomes a hardship for whatever reason, including the economic impact of this pandemic, I ask that customers, utilities, and social service programs work together for the timely payment for utility service. For anyone in this Commonwealth, it should not be a Hobbesian choice between keeping the lights on and water running versus paying for food or medicine. The Commission urges financially stressed households across the state to explore the many utility service assistance. The Commission urges financially stressed households across the state to explore the many utility-specific assistance programs, as well as energy conservation and efficiency programs available to keep monthly utility bills affordable. These efforts will not only assist these households throughout this emergency, but will help mitigate future financial challenges when the emergency has passed. Now more than ever, maintaining utility service is essential to the well-being of families and communities. The Commission urges struggling consumers to reach out early to your utilities to discuss your financial situation before falling behind on your bill. Discuss the details and qualifications for utility customer assistance programs, especially if there have been recent changes in household income. Even if you did qualify for CAP in the past, you may now be eligible. Even if you did not qualify for CAP in the past, you may now be eligible. Check in with your utilities if currently on a cap and have experienced further reductions in household income, as you may qualify for additional assistance or more favorable financial options, and explore all other possible options, including extended payment plans, budget billing, utility hardship funds, and/or assistance through the Federal Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, as well as the Federal Lifeline Program, which supports telecommunications and broadband access to eligible low-income individuals or households. It is also timely to note the social value of utility payments, as these funds support the electric, natural gas, water, wastewater, and telecommunication services we all depend upon. Utilities across the state are committed to working with consumers to address these challenging circumstances. But, as I noted, they need to hear directly and early from families and businesses who are experiencing financial difficulties, so they can begin those individual conversations about what resources and options are available. These are, of course, difficult and uncertain weeks, but I keep being reminded of our obligations, all of us, within our community, and the ancient Persian adage, this too shall pass. With that, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Commissioner Place. Any further discussion on the matter? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 I will also be voting aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 5-0.
Madam Chairman and Commissioners, that concludes all agenda items for consideration today.
Thank you very much, and I thank all of you for joining us over the telephone for this morning's meeting. The votes and audio will be on our PUC website later for you as well. And with no further business to come before us, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
That concludes today's conference. Yes.
We have not finished. We have not finished our vote to adjourn. I heard a motion by Commissioner John Coleman. Is there a second?
Second, please.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Andrew Place. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 5-0. We are adjourned from today's meeting. Thank you.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.